Thank you. Please be seated. I want to tell you this morning a true story that never happened. Okay? By that I mean it could well have happened, but the first bit really did happen because it happened to me. It's a few years ago now, two or three years ago now, that I was booked to preach in our own church, actually. We have a pastor, but he was away or something, so I was booked to preach, and we were all booted and suited. You know, we were all raring to go, and we'd had a cup of tea, and, you know, you'd think, oh, it's too hot, I'll just leave it, I'll just comb my hair. It was still hot when I come back. But, you know, clean my shoe and bits and bobs, and there was just a little bit of tea left in there, and I thought, oh, this is great, and spilled it, and it was not a pretty look. I had to change my trousers. It was not a pretty look at all. So I went and quickly changed the trousers, and we're getting frustrated because we need to get there, and got there, and similar to today, we had the service went, and people read and people prayed, and then they said, now we're going to invite Alan to come. And I realized, where's my sermon? And it was in the wrong trousers. I've got bits of paper up here all over the place. I've got a poem here about a farmer, actually, but I was looking for. So it happened to me. I don't think anybody realized that I didn't have any notes in front of me because I kept looking down, just praying for inspiration, tell me, Lord, and nobody knows. So it's a true story that happened to me, but this particular story, which I'm not sure whether it happened or not, but it's about a farmer who was a preacher. A farmer who was a preacher, and, you know, like we had Piers Langdon, didn't we, as leaders as a church, a farmer who preached, and lots of farmers know the soil, they know what they're talking about, they know it firsthand, they know what it's... what it's like. They know the time to plant, the time to reap, the time to... they've got their fingertips, literally. And this farmer... But life goes on. Although it's Sunday, he still has cows to milk, he still has fields to see to, and but he had a farm labourer. So he was all right. He could go off preaching on a Sunday morning, and he was sat there reading his notes, having his breakfast, and all the rest of it. And he thought he'd write a little list for the farm worker, for the farm labourer to do, and so he wrote the list, and that was that. And he went off for his preach, and they had the service, they had the hymns, they had the prayers, they had more hymns and readings, and he went and got his sermon out, and he realised he'd got the instruction that he should have left for the farm labourer. So his sermon was left on the breakfast table. I don't know what the farm labourer thought of his sermon. In fact, that Bangladeshi one was better than the one I brought, actually. I thought it was pretty good. But he thought, wow. And he didn't have his sermon at his fingertips, really. He relied on his notes quite a lot. So he thought, well, I'd better... And he'd got four instructions. Repair the hedge, clean the ditch, tie up the bull, and sow the big field. And he thought, when he said, well, folks, he said, I need your help this morning. He said, I want to make something else of repair the hedge. That was the first. When you're preaching someone else's sermon, like I was with Bangladesh, it's you've got to get in their mind. You've got to understand where he's coming from. And I might have interpreted it not quite as Reverend Barnabas intended. But I'm going to throw it out, and please don't be afraid to shout out and to help this morning. But what would you do with that first point? We're in a Christian situation, a church situation, and the first point, the only instruction he got was repair the hedge. What do you think we could make of that? We could sit here in silence and wait for the tummies to start rumbling. Well, I put down... Repair the hedge is something that keeps you safe. It keeps people in, doesn't it? It keeps you safe and secure. And I thought about our fellowship, our time together. It's lovely to, Madge often prays, Lord, it's lovely to be together. We're a loving, and to hear, repair the, obviously a car had come off the road and gone through the hedge or something had happened. There was a gap in the hedge, and so the instruction was, repair that, make good the hedge. Make good the boundaries, it could be as well. Make sure that we're sticking to our principles. Make sure. Has anybody else got any thoughts on repair the hedge, or do you think that's probably covers it, does it? Keep us safe. Keeps things out as well. That's, hang on, that's better than I've got. Wendy says, keep things out. Keep the devil out, isn't it? I did a sermon series on the devil in Appledore when I was pastor of Appledore those years ago. And this is Betty Smith. I'll tell you the name. Betty, you remember Alan? Betty Smith, she came to me. It was a Tuesday night Bible series. And she said, Pastor, because I was never Alan. I was always Pastor. In fact, Jean still calls me Pastor very often. She said, Pastor Thorpe, she said, I did 3 or 4 weeks on the studies in the devil. And she said, we never knew anything about the devil until you came. Didn't she? She said that to Betty. So it keeps things, it keeps us in, and it keeps things out as well. Well, that's the first thing, repair the hedge. The second thing was clean the ditch. There must have been a little rain, a little stream round, and it's clean. What can we make of that then? Help me, what can we make? I'm a farmer, I'm struggling, I've just got these notes and I don't know what to do, and my knees are knocking behind the pulpit and I don't know what to do. Clean the ditch. What do you think that was? Take out the rubbish. That's a good one, isn't it? Get rid of the rubbish in your life. Was someone shouting?
Keep the water flowing.
Keep the water flowing. That's exactly right. And keep the communication. Keep it going. Keep your prayer life. Keep the communication. Make sure there's no blockage between you and God. There's no sin. First, remove the speck from your own eye. First, get things right and make sure that the water is flowing, the communication is flowing. The third thing, tie up the bull. I think we probably looked at that anyway. The bull. Satan, I put. Tie up the enemy. Get control. I know the bull is not the enemy, but, you know, work with me on this. Tie up the bull. The bull. Make sure that you resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's what it says in the Bible. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the deacon, he'll fly at you. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then the fourth, the final thing, sow the big field. What's all that about? Sow the big field. Spread the word. That's exactly. You read my script well, Marge, there, didn't you? You read my... You cheated. You can have an extra bowl of custard for a... Yes. Anybody else? Or can we improve on what Marge just said? Spread the word. So evangelize, in other words. Tell others about Jesus and his love. Well, I think that old farmer, in his 4 points... had a good little harvest sermon, didn't he, really? Repair the hedge. Make sure they enjoy church. Be together. Be safe and secure and love one another as you're together. Clean out the ditch. Make sure that your communion with God is flowing, as Linda said, is proper. There's no blockages in the ditch. Tie up the bull. Resist the devil. Anything that would harm and damage, get rid of. And don't be afraid to sow the big field to tell others about Jesus. That's the second sermon. You've got a third one now. It's not the Bangladeshi sermon. It's not the old farmer's sermon. Dare I say, it's not even my sermon. I'm going to preach Jesus' sermon, because Linda finished reading there at verse 30. But you know, the parable goes on, and so I'm going to read from verse 36. If you've got your Bibles, follow it through. Matthew 13, 36. We've had the parable of the wheat and the tares together sown, trying to pull them up together. And then, I'll give you a minute, Matthew 13 and verse 36. And it's titled, The Parable of the Weeds Explained. Have you got it, Marge? It's in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 36. Then Jesus left the crowd and went into the house, and the disciples came to him and said, Explain to us the parable of the wheat, of the weeds in the field. Tell us what that sermon that Linda's just read for us. Tell us, explain it to us, Jesus. And Jesus answered, The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, Jesus. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the son of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is at the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. Then they'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. They'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus' interpretation of this parable will only be a few more minutes, I promise you. Verse 37, he says, the sower, he's explaining that parable, he says, the sower is Jesus. Verse 37 of parable says this, He who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field, so the big field on the farmer's sermon that we've just left, is the world. It says in verse 38, The field is the world. That's what Jesus explained. The field is the world. Some people interpret it as the field is the church. That Martin Luther interpreted it that way. So did John Calvin. So did, one or two others. You know, that we're all together in church. And some are good seed and some's bad seed. And we all look the same. You know, we all... People walking by when it's summer and the door's open, we'd look in and say, oh, they're all church, they're all Christians there, they're all church people. And they wouldn't differentiate between those who... You see, some of us could be like what she called Hyacinth Bouquet. We could be keeping up appearances. We could be pretending. We look like Christian, we look like church people, but in reality, we're not wheat, we're weeds. And it's all pretense. No, he says in verse 38, the field is the world. Verse 38, the good seed. What is the good seed? Well, he says the good seed are Christians. Real church people, real Christians. Verse 38 says again, the field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom, the sons and daughters of the kingdom, Christians. Again in verse 38, he explains what the weeds are. He says the weeds are the sons of the evil one. A bit harsh, but nonetheless it's true. They are the devil's spawn, if you like. They are not God's spawn. Then verse 9, he says he explains who the enemy is, who secretly spread the weeds, while the Christians were sleeping. In verse 39, he says, the enemy who sows the devil. Jesus explained that parable better than any preacher could. The enemy is, our enemy is the devil, while we slept. That's what Reverend Barnabas said in his sermon, didn't he? Pray for people of Bangladesh and people in Abbotsham and people in Biddeford and people in Westwood O and people in Abbotsham. Pray that we do not sleep, but we stay awake spiritually, because otherwise the devil will come. Then he speaks about the day of harvest. And may I say as well, and just add, what a lovely harvest display we have here. There's lots of little subtle bits here. Have you noticed the banner here and the tractor and the seagulls? How true to life that is. We've got two little hens here and the old thermos flask and pair of wellies. Are they size 11? They can stay there in the farmers. And the tune here as well. I worked out that tune straight away. And I'm not musical. We wish you... what was it? It is a proper tune. Yeah, but there we are. The enemy is the devil. And the harvest, verse 39, the day of reckoning, verse 39, he says, the harvest is at the end of the age. So it's not today. It's the end of the age. Might be the end of our age when we die, or the end when this old world comes to an end. It's unfair for us to judge now. That's what Jesus is saying. And it's difficult to not judge. Let's be honest. It's difficult to, when good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people, it's difficult to judge, isn't it? I was talking to, someone was giving a lecture to us in this week in a conference, and he said his granddaughter, she's just 5, she'd been in and out of hospital all her 5 short years. And the medication, it's a long, complicated story, but she's now having to have implants, or she's got these implants, hearing, she's no hearing at all. So she has to have these things, and the preacher's daughter, the mother of the granddaughter, if you like, is angry, is questioning, and we can sympathise with that. Why is it that we are good Christian people, but bad things are happening to us, and we tend to judge, and look at that, that bad, wicked family, and they've just won the lottery, and they've got a yacht, and it's difficult. And he says, he said, the harvest will come. It is difficult, but remember, and this is Jesus' sermon, this is not me making this, I'm just repeating what Jesus said, the day is coming, the day of final judgment. And I'm just saying that to emphasize, really. And it's not going to be it says it will be a day of weeping and gnashing of teeth. There was an old Scottish preacher, because someone at the front said, I haven't got any teeth. And he said, teeth will be provided. There'll be gnashing of teeth and there'll be weep. It's not good. I'm almost laughing and joking about heaven and hell, but this is eternity spent weeping and gnashing of teeth. And who is the reaper? Verse 41 says angels. It's not our job. It's not our job to judge, to reap. Somber message, really, what Jesus was preaching. Wheat and tares together sown, unto joy or sorrow grown. First the blade, and then, the ear. And only then will we know the difference at the end. Well, God bless you. Thank you for listening and attention. You've had 3 sermons, Reverend Barnabas, the old farmer, and the interpretation of Jesus. So let us sing verse 7, number 732. We plant and we scatter the good seed on the land, but it's God's work. Something else is happening. George is here. Do you know, I saw George earlier. You've been so quiet today, George. Come and have a look at... Are you hungry? Are you feeling hungry, George? Do you like apples? Which one do you like? That's a nice deep red one, isn't it? Not too sure. No, you want to say a little prayer first, okay? Okay, Lord Jesus, thank you for George, and thank you for our harvest offering, and thank you for the good people in Bangladesh who will receive and be blessed by our giving in Aberdeen today. And we pray your blessing upon each one of us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. George, here's some. These are called Laxtons. I know this. Give it a little wipe. That's a good one. That's a nice, crunchy, crispy one. Does anybody know anything about apples? They are Laxtons, then, I can tell you.
I know they're nice to eat.
They are nice to eat, aren't they? That one is quite spongy, isn't it? It's quite.
Cornish gilly.
Well, that's a misnomer, isn't it? Like the. What's it called? The golden delicious. They're neither golden nor delicious, are they? But is that Cornish, but it's come from Devon?
So,
Tesco's? Come from. Oh, right. The Cornish. I'll bless you. Thank you. It's good to be in church, to keep that hedge around us, that we can be secure and safe and be ourselves. We don't have to put on airs and graces. The sanctified life is not a sanctimonious life, let me tell you that. We can be ourselves, and it's good that the Lord loves us. Well, we plough the fields and scatter. We used to pinch the apples and scatter the good seed on the land. Let's stand as we sing. Thank you.